Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. Yesterday, a video from Jared Monroe, a former employee of Steven Crowder's show and company Louder with Crowder, went public saying he was being legally abused because of a non-disparagement and non-disclosure agreement and needed your help. So far, he's raised $72,000 with some very serious accusations against Steven Crowder. Now, the latest news, Louder with Crowder has filed a lawsuit accusing Jared Monroe and Hillary Crowder of an extortion scheme. And I got to say, it does not look good for Jared and Hillary Crowder. Notably, just right off the bat, Steven Crowder's ex-wife claimed that she is in need of work and not doing so well financially. But according to court documents, Steven Crowder has been ordered to pay her $25,000 per month for the last 2 years. So something doesn't seem to add up. Now, I don't know what Hillary Crowder, Steven's ex-wife, how she would respond to those reports. But I do think this is a very interesting story right now, considering, well, Steven Crowder's trending. And I've dealt with some legal issues in the past. And, you know, this is big news in independent media. I'm not one to typically dive into these drama stories. And typically I avoid them because I believe it's infinitely more important to talk about things like the bridge collapse or World War III. And those are things I actually care about. But that being said, I can't deny it. I have a personal bias in this that two things. First, my personal bias is I've dealt with legal issues in the past. And I really want to understand how this stuff happens because I've had crazy stuff happen to me here at Timcast. I don't know who's right or who's wrong, Steven Crowder or Jared or Hillary Crowder. None of that matters. But I feel passionate about subjects like this, and I feel like I have insights which can help inform many people as to what may be going on, though far be it for me to know the truth, right? You've got warring parties in this one. But I do think it's also fair to mention this is potentially shaping the landscape of independent media, where we go from here. And Louder with Crowder, of course, is one of the biggest shows on the internet. And lends a lot to the stories like this, to the credibility of individuals who are challenging the establishment. And so for those reasons, and primarily my personal interest in the story, I give you this segment. Now, the other day we saw this fundraiser, GoFundMe, Monroe Family Legal Fund, Free Jared Monroe, currently $72,857 raised. And, you know, I got to be honest, it really bums me out to see this. Not that Jared shouldn't be allowed to raise money, but that there are many people donating lots of money saying, I did not know Crowder was this bad. You don't know Crowder is bad. You don't know that Jared is bad. It's a legal dispute where everyone's got their perspective on it. And it may be that there are two individuals who are actually both good people who are at an impasse and both view themselves as morally right. This is typical. The issue is not that Jared raised money, it's that many people are throwing Crowder under the bus without actually knowing what's happening. And a lot of people are I feel like a lot of people are jumping the gun and making assumptions about who they think is right on this one. But let's read the news from SCNR.com. Exclusive. Louder with Crowder files lawsuit accusing Jared Monroe and Hillary Crowder of extortion scheme. I just don't want Steven Crowder anywhere near those kids. Jared Mattello, also known as Jared Monroe, said in a text message to Hillary Crowder. Was it a text message or an email? Louder with Crowder LLC. LWC has filed a lawsuit against former employee Jared Mattello, also known as Jared Monroe or Not Gay Jared, accusing him of engaging in an extortion scheme with Steven Crowder's ex-wife, Hillary, and her family. Wait till you see some of the stuff that was published. Like, apparently someone, I don't know if they threw a potato through his window or something. Okay. So Mattello's raised, as of the writing of this article, 66, but it's actually up to 72. Despite the seemingly sudden conflict between him and Crowder, Mattello parted ways way back in August of 2018. At the time, he signed an agreement with the company that included a non-disparagement clause. Louder with Crowder's lawsuit, which only names Mattello, claims that this scheme began in 2022 when Steven's ex-wife, Hillary Crowder, plotted to extort him for, quote, more money than Texas law would allow in their pending divorce proceedings. According to court filings obtained by SCNR, Steven has been ordered to pay Hillary $25,000 a month in support for the last 2 years. However, in a recent social media post seeking employment, she claims she can no longer afford to be a stay-at-home mother. Oh, this is interesting. Hillary Crowder posted, looking for work that is remote with flexibility. I am open to anything, particularly work that allow me to be present at home with the twins. Thank you in advance to anyone that's willing to help me in this pursuit by sharing this post. I look forward to bringing my diligence, hard work, ethic, creativity, and ability to think outside the box into whatever work environment I end up in. I know I may get ripped apart in the comments, given that I am a mom of two small children. Please be respectful and know that the plan was for our children to have a stay-at-home mom, but unfortunately, I've been put in a position where that is no longer possible. Here's my LinkedIn, the emails to reach me. Now, if she's getting $25,000 a month, I mean, she can certainly afford to stay home. I don't know where she's living. A lot of Crowder's lawyers allege that in August 2022, Hillary messaged relatives and a lawyer saying it was time this divorce went public and boasted that she held Steven's reputation in her hands. The legal team claimed Hillary and her family were optimistic that making things public would create social media pressure and optics that would cause Louder with Crowder to force Crowder to settle in the divorce proceedings. Defendants then implemented their full-throated effort to engage in the negative media campaign to damage Louder with Crowder. Those are quotes from the suit, not from SCNR. In an email sent to family members on September 11, 2022, Hillary's father, Tom Corzon, had detailed the type of team he wants to build to help his daughter in the divorce, specifically to destabilize his former son-in-law and father of his grandchildren. They understand right-wing media. They are familiar with who Steven is and who Steven is and that world and the things that would destabilize him. So here's appears to be, I believe this is an email or no, this looks like it's a text perhaps. Perhaps a text. It says, I believe this is probably obtained through discovery in legal proceedings. My additional comments, the type of team I want, they understand right-wing media. They're familiar with who Steven is in that world and the things that would destabilize him, or will commit to investing the necessary time, thoughts, thoughtful consideration, and judgment to become sufficiently familiar with that world in order that they become intellectually and emotionally invested in Hillary's circumstances. They are experts on narcissists and or will read and view selected articles to fully understand the narcissism and the impact on the spouse of a narcissist. They have a personal interest in me and my case and compassionate to my situation. They like my creative ideas and family involvement. They think outside the box and are welcome to the ideas of using the media, Brian Friedman, PR, etc. They also provide their own strategies and ideas that are outside the box. Fully understand and agree that Hillary's goals and expectations for the outcome of this divorce are reasonable and attainable, not necessarily according to Texas family law precedent, but by employing a media, Brian Friedman, and PR strategy that will significantly threaten this public persona and brand. Okay, I'm going to pause right here. I don't know that Steven Crowder is an innocent guy. This is his side of legal documents, and certainly Jared Monroe has made accusations against him. However, that being said, what's the date on this? 2022-9-11. Here's the dad saying that effectively, we want to get more out of this divorce than you would get in family law precedent. And by using a PR strategy to threaten and destabilize Steven Crowder, they could actually win. So I'm going to be honest. I know a lot of people are going to say, you know, biased that or otherwise. The first thing I'll say about Jared Monroe's post is, I said this yesterday. I've been involved in legal proceedings. You cannot do what he did. That's just, it's plain, okay? Immediately, I'm like, something doesn't seem right. If you're in, okay, here's the challenge. I'll tell you this, personal experience. I've been in several different legal proceedings on the defense and the plaintiff sides of things. And when you're involved in legal issues, and we know this is true with the likes of, you know, James O'Keefe talks about this, you can't say anything. You can't. Carl Benjamin filed a law, was sued by Akilah Hughes because he uploaded a clip from her YouTube channel and he titled it something like "The Absolute Awareness of Liberals" or something like this. She claimed it was infringement. She made video after video after video. She kept talking about it. And everyone asked Carl, what's going on? He's like, I can't talk about it. Can't talk about it. It's court. Carl won. I believe he won his legal fees as well because it was fair use. When you, it seems to me, I typically find the people who are in the right are the ones who keep their mouths shut. And the reason why is, not that Steven Crowder's kept his mouth shut completely, I'm not saying that. A lot of people have this belief that if you are honest and you're doing the right thing, you will win in the end. It's not always true. But there are people who are threatened that they're not going to win the legal battle, so they create public personal attacks. The fact that they decided to take a public strategy to harm Steven Crowder, and now what we're seeing with Jared Monroe, it seems to me like this, I don't know if you call it an extortion scheme, call it whatever you want. Perhaps it seems like they're outright saying in these messages, you know, we probably wouldn't win based on Texas family law, but if we attack his persona, lots of people will jump on board. It's going to damage him and cost him money, so he'll bow out. That's what it seems like. Jared Monroe put up a legal fundraiser violating the NDA he claims he needs help to get out of. So when I saw that, I said, no, he doesn't. He broke the NDA already. Something doesn't add up. I don't know his circumstances. I'm not saying anything. He did anything wrong. I don't know who's in the right or wrong. I'm saying, legally speaking, you can't go, I know I'm under an NDA, but my former employer, wink, wink. Like, you can't do that. That violates the NDA. And if he's willing to violate the NDA to raise $100,000, knowing a judge is going to drop the book on him, something doesn't make sense to me. Unless Steven Crowder's right. And Jared Monroe knows that not only will he raise $100,000, he's raised $72,000 already through GoFundMe of all places, but that whatever penalty he does face in court, the end result, if it pulls money out of Crowder, gets him either an emotional satisfaction or a financial one. I don't know. All I can say is this. I've been involved in legal battles, and it is nightmarish when the judge screams in your face, you dare not speak publicly about what's happening. And the people who are attacking you know that they have nothing to lose. They can say literally anything they want. And with smiles on their faces, there'll be a bunch of people who want to destroy you. And they try to use that. I've experienced something similar. When I see this happening to Crowder, I'm like, I got personal bias because I've experienced this. But I do think it's fair to say, I will point out my bias having experience with similar things, but I will also stress this again. Jared Monroe posted it as GoFundMe. He says, I need your help to stop the abuse. Tell me to protect my wife and children from financial ruin and fight back. How? By dissolving my unconstitutional NDA and non-disparagement. He already violated it. So any money he gets in a legal battle, he's already on the hook for whatever penalties that may be. This lawsuit being filed by Crowder, I think, what's the relief they're asking? Do we have the relief in here? I don't know what the relief is, but he's all like, he's suing. Jared is being sued. I don't get it. I don't understand. He's saying, help me fight this NDA as I make a 15-minute long video disparaging the person I'm claiming I'm not allowed to disparage. Whatever he's fighting, he's now already violated. The fight's over. The fight is done. The judge can now be like, you violated this. And so I suppose the argument is he takes the collateral damage, tries to challenge that as he's being reprimanded by the judge in this case for violating his NDA or whatever. And then he tries to get it dissolved after the fact. I don't know. There's more to it, by the way. I only read this one passage. This person, he continued, will fully understand and agree that Hillary's goals and expectations for the outcome of the divorce are reasonable and attainable, not necessarily according to Texas family law precedent, but by employing a media PR strategy, it will threaten his public persona. Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. This leak, this message probably obtained through discovery. I don't know. Included in Crowder's lawsuit. And Crowder is not going to falsify court documents. This looks to be legitimate. They're basically saying they're going to get more than they typically would get under law by attacking his company. And here is Jared Monroe jumping on board. Friedman has a reputation for being very aggressive, particularly in the media, and securing multi-million dollar payouts for his clients. Hillary has retained Friedman as a public relations consultant. As of November 2023, she had already paid him between $20,000 and $25,000, though he does not appear to have any family law experience. Interesting. Then, of course, with the Yasir Ali story and the leaked video footage, we can see there's a video footage of Crowder and Hillary arguing. When asked if the intent was to pursue a damaging PR strategy to create a circumstance of leverage that her attorney could use to show Steven Crowder the path to make it all go away, Hillary claimed she could not speak to her father's messages. So in this deposition, the question was, and then number seven, developing damaging, okay, PR asset should be pursued. That deliverable. It is up to us, not the legal team. In the right time, Mark will show Steven Crowder the path to make it all go away. Do you see that? I do. Okay, so was it the intent here to pursue the damaging PR strategy that your father previously referred to create a circumstance of leverage that your attorney, Mark, could then use to show Steven Crowder the path to make it all go away? Mr. Downing, objection to form. You can answer. I can't speak to my dad's text messages. Question by Mr. Wysocki. Well, you were part of this group, right? We can see up here. I didn't write those words. Interesting. Hillary was asked to confirm if she wanted a team that would destabilize Steven, and she said yes. So here's where it gets interesting. How does Jared get involved? Well, according to the lawsuit, Metello met with Hillary in Atlanta, Georgia in February of 2023. It is unclear who initiated the meeting. Now, keep in mind, this is a year after, according to this lawsuit, Hillary's father said they wanted to put together this team that knew media and wanted to destroy Steven Crowder. Here's a message. Okay, so it does look like these are texts, not emails. I think this is a scenario where several of us would be willing to attest to all of that. I don't know what they're referring to. I just don't want him anywhere near those kids. That really, really disturbs me. Question. I'm not saying you have to like Steven Crowder. By all means, please hate him. If that's your intent and that's what you've found. But I got to say, I feel a little male bias forming. This idea that you would, as a former employee, interfere in the custody of a father and his kids. Now, for all we know, there's reason why people would be like, Crowder shouldn't be near his kids, I guess. But pending any legitimate evidence or claims or public presented anything, I think it is disgusting. And, I default instantly to the Steven Crowder is the father and you should not, as a third party, a year after they've initiated this divorce strategy, interfere. I find that despicable. Here's another one. To further defendant's personal desire to keep Crowder away from his children, defendant helped Hillary craft and further the extortion scheme by providing false and disparaging stories and closely held beliefs about Crowder and Louder with Crowder. Here's another message. Any scenario where Hillary and I team up is the end of him. It's his worst nightmare. Watch real fear enter his eyes when Tim asks this question. I don't know who Tim is. Hillary also allegedly provided the disgruntled former employee with Steven's unpublished home address. So I believe these lawsuit filings, they're all publicly available. I know that Pearl Davis was bringing up a lot of this stuff. And shout out to Pearl Davis, because she said yesterday that she believes the ex-wife was orchestrating this. And she certainly got Steven Crowder's perspective perfectly before this was even public. The lawsuit states shortly after defendant received Crowder's personal address, Crowder received a threatening message. And here's a potato where it says, watch it, effing watch it. The same line that Steven used in the leaked home security footage. So according to the lawsuit, they say the more troubling is the threatening message was sent to the only remaining residents that had not been previously doxxed. Not only is the doxing incident a violation of their agreement, but threatened Crowder's personal home where Crowder's children reside part time. Mattello allegedly violated their NDA multiple times, so Ladder with Crowder sent a cease and desist. And this is what Jared's saying. He's trying to stop me from talking to my friends. It seems that Jared is trying to communicate with Steven Crowder's ex-wife, who is currently in a legal battle with him. This is, in my opinion, improper, especially with a non-disparagement and NDA. It seems like Jared is knowingly in violation of an agreement. I mean, perhaps he's saying he was pressured into doing it, but there's a reason why these agreements exist. And if you agree to them, then you need to resolve that with the person, not go to their ex-wife, say they shouldn't see their kids anymore, and whatever else. I don't know. LWC subsequently filed a Rule 202 petition seeking Mattello's deposition and requested he produce documents relating to his alleged repeated violations. A Rule 202 petition is not a lawsuit, but it means to gather information before one is filed. The petition requested communications with Dave Landau, Hillary Crowder, Hillary's best friend Brittany White Turner, several members of Hillary's family, Daily Wire founder Jeremy Boring, employees and representatives of the Daily Wire, all current and former LWC employees, and several others. As SCNR previously reported, on March 26, 2024, Mattello released a video claiming that he's being legally abused and intimidated into silence by a former employer. He claimed that he was surprised to receive the cease and desist letter that required him to cease communications with his friends. I got to be honest, man. How about this? If in February of 2023, you message someone saying you don't want a man to see his children and you have a non-disparagement, it should not be a surprise to you that this man fighting to keep his children will do everything in his power to stop you from trying to take his children from him. That being said, everybody's arguing, my family, my kids, oh geez. Free speech matters, and these kinds of NDAs right here stemming from this are unquestionably unconstitutional, Mattello said. I will not live with the burden of this unconstitutional NDA over my head for the rest of my life, especially when this information I have can be used to aid other victims escape their own abusive situations, which is the context for which this former employer feels they caught me breaking my agreement. Well, I got to be honest. The documents filed by Crowder, not his opinion on them, but the texts, these are not falsified. I do not believe. OK, so it looks like Crowder is seeking $1 million. I don't see a scenario in which Crowder submits fabricated evidence to a court. That's absurd. That being said, this would mean that his ex-wife's father is trying to secure more money than the divorce would allow through Texas law, and that a PR strategy would force Crowder to bend the knee. And Jared is assisting in that. Yet that's not free speech. That is, I guess extortion. I mean, there's lying about someone, wanting to cause them harm or whatever it may be, or general disparagement when you have a non-disparagement, which could remove a man's children from his custody. And that's your expressed intent. Yeah, we're not talking about just free speech here. We're talking about a legal effort to take a man's children from him. Now, by all means, perhaps that's not a criminal issue, so it would fall under, we can make the argument, he should be free to say these things and do whatever he wants to do. I think that should all be happening in court. It's kind of wild that this is actually going on. Letter with Crowder's lawsuit states the company cannot reasonably calculate the dollar value of the damages caused by Mattello at this time, but said it exceeds $1 million. Legal fees, right? Mattello asserted that he was not complying and planned to fight back, asking supporters to donate to help him with legal fees. The lawsuit notes his intent to not comply with court orders. I'll just say this. I don't know or care who you want to support in this effort. Maybe Crowder's abusive. There's a lot of people who don't like him. Something doesn't sit right with me seeing this message from Jared saying he doesn't want Crowder to see his kids. I just don't want him anywhere near those kids. That really, really disturbs me. Mattello message saying, I don't want Crowder anywhere near those kids. Y'all donating to a man to help take the children away from Steven Crowder? I mean, come on. I know that Crowder and his ex-wife are having issues, but this guy's raising money saying he wants to be able to speak freely when his intent a year ago working with Crowder's ex-wife is to take his children from him. There are certain circumstances where people should not have their kids. I don't know that Crowder falls into that category, but all I can say is there's nothing in the public that suggests Crowder should not have his children. If there is something secret and behind the scenes we don't know about, then I say let the expose it. Any one of these parents, Hillary or Crowder, if there's wrongdoing, And if you've already violated your NDA, why aren't you just saying it? Or let the courts handle it. Right now, on the surface, what I'm seeing is, here's a guy who's raising $100,000 to engage in a practice where his expressed goal is to take Crowder's children from him. I don't get it. Now, look, in Jared's video, he says, you know, Crowder's lawyers were doing this, trying to take his personal equipment from him, saying he couldn't work in media. Here's what it looks like. If I were to take both of these scenarios, Jared Monroe quits, Jared Mattello quits. Then you get Crowder's company being like, your equipment is ours, you can't work in media. Jared gets angry. How dare you try and claim I can't work in media? This is my equipment, not yours. Here are the receipts. Why am I fighting this legal battle? Jared then goes to Hillary Crowder. We don't know who initiated the contact, but of course, it appears, according to this lawsuit, Hillary's dad wants this team of people who know and have issues. So now you have a guy with a grudge against Crowder who makes contact with the ex-wife of the guy he's feuding with. Now, let's just think about this for 2 seconds. Jared's saying, I had a legal battle with Crowder over business issues, and maybe Crowder's in the wrong on that one. But then he goes to Crowder's ex-wife and says, here's my friend. I don't want him to have his kids. Okay, my personal view on this one is that Jared Monroe has a personal grudge against Crowder for business reasons and made it personal because that's the attack vector. I could be totally wrong on all of this. We're looking at a response from Crowder. We're looking at a lot of e-drama. But yo, this is wild. Let me say a few things as I wrap this up. I've been involved in lawsuits, and typically the non-public parties know for a fact they can break the law, they can violate court orders, and nothing will happen. They have nothing to lose. Here's a guy who's like, I can't work, or whatever. So what's my loss? Steven Crowder represents a brand and a business. And as they already stated, a PR attack would force Crowder to bend the knee in a legal dispute. That's disgusting. Now, Hillary says, I don't know anything about that. But let me just shout this out right now. I'm sorry that I got to, looking at all this, I got to lean in Crowder's favor on this one. But again, I'm saying, you know, I don't know for sure. But how are you going to say I'm in a position where it may not be possible for me to be a stay-at-home mother, saying this 2 weeks ago, when according to court records, Crowder was ordered to pay $25,000 a month? Okay. Maybe Crowder's not paying it. Fair point. That may be the situation. It may be that 2 weeks ago, Crowder said, pending this lawsuit, I'm not going to be paying. Fine. Then she may have been like, well, now I don't have any money coming in. I need a job. Fair point. I don't think it's fair just to immediately assert she had this money. But apparently, they paid a lot of money to this PR guy. Interesting story. It's fascinating, really. But I suppose I'll put it this way. While it may be e-drama and stuff, with many people, 1,500 people donating to Jared Monroe, up to $72,000, I think it's important to know what they're donating to. A man who wants to take Crowder's children from him. I may be biased. I mean, there's a lot more to it, but seeing that message really pissed me off. You got a problem with Crowder. You are friends with his ex-wife, all that stuff, fine. But to inject yourself into a custody battle between two parents and to take the children from a dad, I'm sorry, I got a heavy bias there, a heavy one. And I say, how dare you? You got these people saying, like, I was a part of Mug Club. Now I feel guilty. I cut ties with that pig, Steven Crowder. And I'm just thinking, like, man, I don't know, dude. But, like, to send a message saying you don't want Crowder to see his children, that just lit a fire under me. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. I've heard enough right now about the Francis Scott Key bridge collapse to think it could be an accident. But there are still many questions that I think lead to a potential it was a deliberate attack. We don't know. The official statement from the government is it was not intentional. It was an accident. But boy, it's fascinating how with all of this space, the ship just perfectly over a period of 20 minutes just turns right into this pillar. Now, I think it's fair to say that we should be operating under the assumption that it was an attack because we are involved in numerous international conflicts. But it very well may be a perfect storm of an accident. The way they described it, many individuals described it yesterday in our super chats and our members over on TimCast IRL, was that the power goes out and the ship is now like adrift. When the power kicks back on, they restart the engines and crank it to full power. And anybody who's ever watched a balloon, when you release the air, it just sputters random directions. The force in the back is pushing so hard, it's shoving the front of the ship to the right. Makes sense. It's kind of like how if you've ever launched a firework, it could like veer off because the pressure in the back is so high, it's trying to push itself forward and then the weight tips. And yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense. And so they dropped the port side anchor to try and correct for this, but it wasn't enough. And it slammed into the pillar. Makes sense. But I certainly think an investigation is warranted. And we didn't get one. The bridge collapses. And a couple hours later, they're like, everything seems to be okay, everybody. Don't ask questions. Your government is in control. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene said there should be an investigation. Was it an accident or was it an attack? And I think that is the intelligent thing to do. But then we see this. The Wire creator David Simon calls Marjorie Taylor Greene a sub-moronic pratfall of a human being for questioning if the Baltimore Bridge collapse was intentional and demanding an investigation. Huh? I kid you not. Jimmy Dore exemplified this perfectly with a comedy bit about how you've got these people who are just like, don't look into it. Don't ask questions. And he's like, that used to be called reading. Now they're like, please tell me you're not doing your own research. What? Yo, one of the largest ports in the country is now shut down. Okay? A bridge just collapsed and people are dead. Before we jump to conclusions, I think it's fair to say the indication we have currently is that it was not intentional. However, we are currently investigating to remove all doubt. I think that's fair. So Marjorie Taylor Greene says, there should be a serious investigation into the horrifying tragedy of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Maryland. Is this an intentional attack or accident? Now, the context that pops up is Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley said there's absolutely no indication there's any terrorism or that this was done on purpose. Governor Wes Moore confirms the ship's crew issued a mayday and communicated they were experiencing a power issue. Okay. If there was a cyber attack in the industrial control systems of this vessel, I don't know exactly how they work, or sabotage that kills the power, the power kicks back on and the engines go straight to full blast, causing it to shift. That can be easily calculated in a cyber attack. Easily. Now, hold on there just a minute. I think it would be fair if we pulled up. I also think it's fair to point out, is this even Marjorie Taylor Greene's account? Let's pull up MTG Green on X. And let's see what we got here. Marjorie Taylor Greene, that is her account, of course. And I'm gonna pull up this tweet. I'm gonna scroll right down to the full context because, of course, she said in response. So there's a little bit more. She said, "Is an intentional attack or accident? Praying for the victims, survivors, and families." So why is this guy from The Wire saying, "Are you intentional or just an accident? You complete submoronic pratfall of a human being." There's a lot to be said here. I think this very much encapsulates the culture war so perfectly. Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't say anything political. She didn't insult anybody. She didn't say anything bad. She's like, wow, we should look into this. Let's take a look at when she posted that too. She posted this at 12:32 p.m. March 26th, so yesterday. And so this is like just afternoon. We did have a lot of knowledge about what was going on. And she simply asks, and instantly, you've got these people being like, how dare you? I'm going to throw it to our good friend Jimmy Dore, who nails this in this 2-minute bit. 2 minutes kind of a long thing, but it's so good. It needs to be played. So I will play it for you now.
The weird thing that happened around COVID, I'd never noticed this before in any other time of my life, but you weren't allowed to ask questions at any point during this. You just had to do what the man on the TV said. Right? You had to do what the man on the TV said without questions, and then you're a good person.
That's right.
But if you question it, then you're a white supremacist Trumper. They're like, whoa, no. No, I didn't vote for Trump. I just have questions. Jimmy, only dumb people ask questions.
That's right.
Isn't that weird? It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Even comedians would get on stage and they would shame people for trying to get informed about a medical treatment that was experimental, that they had to take or they would lose their jobs and they wouldn't be able to travel. And when people tried to get informed about that, other people shamed them. They would say, please tell me you're not going to do your own research. You've heard people say that. Please don't do your own research. You know, before COVID, doing your own research used to be called reading. Now you're shaming me for reading? At the behest of Big Pharma? It's like I woke up in the middle of a Bill Hicks bit. Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader. That's how much people internalized the propaganda from Big Pharma, was that they would be anti-intellectual enough to shame people for reading while they're wagging their finger at them for doing it. You would never shame people for trying to get informed, no matter what other subject it was, no matter how unimportant. Like if I say, hey, I'm gonna go buy a car. Don't look into it. Well, how will I know which car to get? Ask the salesman. He's the expert. What are you, Henry Ford?
Shout out to Jimmy Dore. And I'll give a good shout out to our friends over at the New York Times. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Critical thinking, as we're taught to do it, isn't helping in the fight against misinformation. What is going on? This is the culture war, my friends. It really comes down to people who are intentionally lying to manipulate. Shout out to our good friends, the Krasensteins, who that's basically what they do. They're sophists. And people who are just trying to figure things out. Or I should say, then the default people who are so... the general thing is, you've got people like, you know, David Simon, who insults and attacks Marjorie Taylor Greene for simply saying, we should investigate. And Jimmy Dore nails it. Do as the man on TV says or else. What? What is wrong with people? Wow, it really is wild. There is, you know, maybe it's evolutionary. You know what I mean? Take a look at it this way. In the wilderness and in survival, the inquisitive individual is more likely to adapt to a change in circumstances. You have Grok in the year, shout out to Twitter, by the way, but Grok, there we go, we'll say Grok, in 20,000 BC. And he notices there's more water coming down waterfall. Strange. And, you know, he goes and he says, I see water, more come. And then they go, oh, Grok crazy. Ew, water come, Grok crazy. And he's like, So then he climbs up, takes a look, and uh-oh, there's a natural levee, and there is a large downstream coming. The levee is about to break. It's eroded naturally, and now there's going to be a massive surge, which will flood the river and head downstream and wipe out the village. So he runs down and says, Grok, ask question. Grok, look, water come. And they go, no, water, come. Grok crazy. Grok stupid. So he takes his family and they go uphill, and then a flood comes and kills everybody. I mean, it's a ridiculous analogy, but you get my point. In nature, those who are inquisitive are more likely over a long period of time to avert danger by seeking to better understand. Duh, we build technology by asking these questions. But then you get tons of people that are just like, meh, I don't care. Well, then the flood comes and washes them away. So let's use this scenario. Let's say it was an attack, not an accident. Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't say one way or the other. She says we should investigate. So we decide to investigate because it's a major disaster. And it turns out it was an attack. This guy goes, no, it wasn't. And then the bad guys come and storm the gates. And he's like, how could this have happened? If only we knew. And then they wipe him out. My point is, in nature, those that are more inquisitive and looking into things are more likely to survive. And those that ignore these things will get caught by surprise. And as they say, chance favors the prepared. But now that we've created this bubble world where everyone is safe and secure, you've got people like David Simon who are just like, don't look into it. Ask the car salesman. He's the expert. Well, these people are not going to survive over a long period of time because they're going to be caught off guard and constantly stumbling over rocks in their path because they're not looking where they're walking. It really is. That's a much simpler analogy. Marjorie Taylor Greene is walking. She goes, is that a hole? Should we look into whether we should avoid that? And then this guy goes, "You moron, don't look into it." And then walks up, and falls into a hole. That's the reality. Maybe what the culture war is a natural consequence of people who are not inquisitive and incapable of critical thinking now coming to terms with the dangers and excesses of humanity. And so we are beset with these questions where you have these large group of people who have survived thanks to the ingenuity and perseverance of those who are inquisitive. We want them to survive, but they have built up a critical mass of non-critical thinkers, which will vote for their own destruction. And thus come the hard times, which will result in a collapse, and those of an inquisitive mind are more likely to survive. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What I can tell you is, I saw this and I was like, Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't even say anything. She literally just said, we should look into this. And this guy just goes nuts. It's not even about just being anti, it's not even just about attacking Marjorie Taylor Greene, calling her ignorant. It's about the rage, the pure anger they have. He just hates Marjorie Taylor Greene for no reason. That to me is the weirdest thing. What we're facing now in this country is coming off of this massive pandemic. We've got a crisis in Baltimore with this port. We've got inflation now underway. Coal exports have been stopped, which means a lot of those who work in the coal industry are going to see a jam up. If you're not getting that product out, how will that impact the orders? If a company ordered a certain amount of coal and that coal is delayed, that company halts, they're not going to order more coal because the last order is not coming. How does that affect you working the coal mines or the coal factory or refineries or whatever it may be? It's going to cause huge issues. Knowing why this happened is of utmost importance because we don't want it to happen again. Doing an investigation should be the first thing. Now, perhaps the real issue is it was an intentional attack on our infrastructure. And the reason why they're saying shut your mouths is because of potential for escalation before we're ready. Man, it really is a difficult scenario. I view what's happening in this country, the moral degradation, the technological degradation. It just feels like everything's falling apart. I think it's fair to say, and it's true, we as the general public cannot know everything, both from the capabilities of our time and energy that we have to research things, but also because of security. Yo, it is fair and it is true. There's a reason why we have classified information. If the U.S. just came out and said, here are all of our defensive capabilities, we would be destroyed overnight. I mean, now, not necessarily there's a gun behind every blade of grass in this country, so that probably keeps us safe from most invasions. So that's why, I'm not a big fan of world policing, because I'm just not worried about being conquered. You got too many guns. You step foot in West Virginia and every single house is pointing a gun at you. Good luck. You can talk all day and night about you need F-16s and nuclear weapons to beat the government. No, you don't. Okay. Joe Biden, when he said that, he's basically saying he could genocide America, but he couldn't conquer it. Your choices are extermination or retreat. Because you ain't taking it over. That ain't going to happen. I don't know. Maybe they're trying, I guess, because most people just want to be left alone. They want to be left alone. They don't want to deal with this stuff. But where we're at right now, and I think it's fair to mention, when it comes to classified information, we have this challenge. Do we trust the deep state? Not anymore. Not if they went after Donald Trump the way they did. You want to go after a sitting president, claim he's a Russian agent or whatever you want to claim? You need proof. You need proof. They don't have it. There is no proof. You want to claim Trump committed fraud? Here we go with the sophistry again. Oh, the summary judgment, judge bangs the gavel and then says Trump has to pay $500 million because of the interest. It's up to like 500 and something million right now. That's never been done before in history. There's no way that's legitimate. Trump committed no fraud. It's a lie. They say Trump overvalued his properties and argued, this is what the Krasinski said, he argued that you could put more units on them than you actually could. And I'm like, so he gave an assessment that was incorrect. And then the question is, did the banks do their own? Oh, they did. This is the craziest thing. A world where you can come out and say, you know, this is a really great product and do all these things. Okay, every car salesman should be in prison because, you know, how many stories have you heard where the car dealership says, why don't you get our premium package reserve plan, which for an additional $1,000, you can bring the car in anytime for any service. Anything's wrong with that car, you bring it in, we fix it, you pay up front, and you go, okay. And then one day you hear a clanking and the car's having trouble, so you bring it in and they go, oh, well, we don't cover that one. That's not fraud? Remarkable. In New York, you look at the property values of tax assessment, they're full of it, they're lying. And so my point about security is, we need an intelligence and military apparatus in this country for security reasons. We, the general public, can't know everything because it would allow our enemies to know everything. So some secrets have to be kept. But then what ends up happening is we have these psychopaths who are exploiting that system for personal gain and for power. And now here we are between a rock and a hard place. A major bridge collapse. They're not going to tell us what happened. They come out immediately without doing any investigation saying we know exactly what happened. No, you don't. But they sent a mayday. So what? Someone cyber attacks a shipping container, a shipping vessel, a cargo vessel, container vessel, whatever, and the power goes out. Of course they'll send a mayday. That proves it was an accident. No, it doesn't. They drop anchor. Not enough time to stop the vessel from steering into the pillar. But a lot of people are pointing this out. You look at the time it took. I think it was someone mentioned like 20 minutes. It started veering off course. I don't know if that's true. The power, before the power even went out, apparently it was veering off course. Then the power shuts off. How do we know it wasn't an intentional sabotage by the one guy who was inside? Now people are saying the pilot of the ship, Ukrainian. What could that mean? I have no idea. It's funny because there's this meme where it's like the leftist conspiracy theory is that the corporation that owns the vessel had once done a partnership with this other company. Going back to 1970s, you can see that this organization, blah, 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 blah. And the right-wing conspiracy, they said, is the pilot was Chinese or Ukrainian or black. And I'm like, I think the right-wing conspiracy is cyber attack, to be honest. Oh, I guess that one's actually not right-wing and it may be plausible. Well, there are certainly many people on the right who are saying maybe it was diversity, equity, and inclusion. I said from the get-go, I don't know about all that. You know, like you can't isolate a single person. Like, show me the history where the individual that they hired to pilot this vessel, the apparently Ukrainian guy, was brought on for this reason or something. Cyber attack seems to make the most sense, or intentional act of sabotage. How could they come out without doing an investigation and just say, we know? Well, let's bring it back to the core as we wind things down in this wonderful segment. Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't do any. This is remarkable. The insults and the attacks. Here we go. Anthony Sabatini says DEI did this. I think that's silly. Like, I don't know how you can claim DEI did this. It's too perfect of a storm for this to be incompetence, in my opinion. So accident or intentional, but not incompetence. Maybe. I guess incompetence is on the list, but the idea is that we diversity hired a pilot for the vessel, and then when the power went out, they jammed the engines forward, causing it to shift and then drive into the pillar or something. Maybe. David Simon says, your mother did you, but after a hard life of service on a truck stop lot, you can really hold her loosened, battered womb responsible for dropping you headfirst on the Winnebago floor and burdening our society with another empty, racist demagogue thereafter. We cannot. Wow. No wonder The Wire was such a good show, because this guy is an emotional blowhard who has no idea what's going on. Anyway, I'm still not convinced it was an accident. I don't know for sure it was intentional, but I will stress, it is remarkable that we live in a society where there are people saying, don't look into it. Ask the car dealer. He's the expert. The police chief knows why the bridge collapsed. He didn't even need to do an investigation. So it reminds me of that Family Guy joke where Pawtucket Patriot. What's the name of the bar they go to in Family Guy? I don't know. It burns down. And they're like, oh no, the bar burned down. It was bought by some British guy. And then later on, someone's like hiding in a closet and he's like, I burned down the building for the insurance money. And then, oh yeah, it's the insurance salesman. He walks out of the closet and he goes, wait a minute. And then something happens where they're like, weren't you at all suspicious that this bar burned down right after he got fire insurance? And he goes, what do you mean? It happens all the time. Like, that's the joke. buildings burn down almost every time someone buys insurance. It's totally normal. That's the thing. That's what I feel like we're dealing with here. What do you mean? The police chief didn't need to do an investigation. He just talked to the guy and said, accident. That's it. We didn't check the computer logs. Nobody did. Nobody had time to. We didn't do any reconnaissance. We didn't do any general investigation. We didn't interrogate the people who were on the ship. They just said it was an accident. So it was. Welcome to your brave new world. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. I ask you, my friends, to share this video with anyone you know who's Gen Z, who has concerns about affording rent, affording food. You know, I saw a clip from Bill Maher where you've got Bill Maher saying, what, Joe Biden's going to lose because hot dogs are more expensive. Ha 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 ha, hot dogs are more expensive. He says, Trump says bacon's up 5 times. It's up 12%. And he's like, these people just don't know. They don't know. Yeah, I don't know exactly what Trump said about that. I certainly think it's fine to criticize Donald Trump, saying he's exaggerating those points. He's being very hyperbolic and those numbers are wrong. Totally fair. Totally fair. But I do feel that Bill Maher was correct when he said, although a bit dismissive of our young cohorts in this country, Biden's going to lose because hot dogs are more expensive. And then you get, it was Beto. He goes, well, this president has lowered inflation more than any other leader, blah, blah. The reason why I say share this with Gen Z is because here's how it works. If I love this. I love this. If a bunch of CEOs are making $10 million a year, and then let's say you have 10 CEOs making $10 million a year, and you have 10 unemployed people, you can't then add that up, divide it, and say the average income is $5 million. You can't do that. That's what they're doing. They're saying, you know, inflation's way down. Biden, everything's fine. Young people are struggling. Posting videos every day on TikTok, going viral, being like, I can't afford rent. I can't afford food. And then I'm telling people, we got, within a couple hours driving of where I live, 12 casinos. And they're always full. Making a killing. You got older people who have money to spend and younger people who cannot break that barrier. Something is messed up. Now tell me this. New York City begins pilot program to hand out prepaid weekly debit cards to 460 illegal immigrants at Roosevelt Hotel. $53 million contract for the deal. As long as they promise it's for food and for baby care stuff. Just promise. Don't spend it on another thing. That's amazing. City Hall spokesperson said a family with two parents and kids under the age of 5 will receive around $350 per week. Around 460 illegal immigrants will be covered under the pilot program. Of the 64,500 illegal immigrants under the city's care, the cost-saving measure will replace the city's current system of providing non-perishable food boxes to migrant families staying in hotels, much of which is often discarded. The reason why I ask you to share this with young people that you may know is I have a question for those in Gen Z. For what reason do you tolerate the giving away of your inheritance in this country to non-citizens who have not lived here? It's an honest question. Maybe you're a leftist and you say, they have every right to the properties that were built by my ancestors and my neighbors, the same rights that I do, and they get to live there and I don't. No, honest question. If you believe, as a leftist, Gen Z, that it's fine, they gave a luxury hotel to non-citizens who entered the country illegally, let's tone down the language here, right? It's fine. Are you, as an American citizen, not entitled to the fair share that's supposed to be given out? Why do you think it's fair that these people who aren't from here, who did not contribute the same way you did with your taxes and your life, and you went to school, how come they're in the hotel and you're not? You can argue that they are of equal standing to receive the same entitlements as you. Okay, well, you don't have a place to live, and they are being given cash money and luxury hotel rooms. Why is that acceptable? You may argue, well, it's fine, but I should get that too. Okay, then why now do you tolerate them doing this? I'd actually argue triage. Certainly you, young Gen Z American, should have that access first, right? Before the people who aren't citizens here. We hear often that the wealthy should be paying their fair share. To who? Seriously, comment below. Tell me what you think. Gen Z leftist. You're on the left. Progressive. Who should they be paying that fair share to? The government? Should the government get the money to wage wars and give it to Israel and Ukraine? Honest question. When the fair share is taken from the wealthy, it ain't going to your pocket. Are you deserving of that money? When it does go overseas, much of it, some of the largest contributions go to Israel. Right now, Ukraine is the largest beneficiary of U.S. spending. And then when it comes to housing and food and cash money in the pocket, maybe it's a universal basic income, call it what you want. It's not going to you. So where's your cut of the fair share? I feel like we can come to an agreement with leftists if they accept these questions, these premises. How about we do this? No illegal immigrants, no non-citizens, no hotel rooms, no free money. We start there. Then the fair share that's left remaining, that's taken from the wealthy, we can determine how it should be spent. Do you think it should be spent on Israel? No, I think you would say no. Okay, fair point. I agree. Probably not for the same reasons, but I would rather see the money that we spend overseas given to a single random person. I'd prefer it if the $100+ billion in Ukraine funding, one day they went, I'll put it this way. If the federal government came out and said, okay, look, we're going to fund this war in Ukraine to the tune of $150 billion, or Jim can have it. I'd be like, Jim, I want Jim to have it. I want Jim to buy everything he's ever dreamed of, because at least that's this country. At least Jim lives here. At least Jim is a taxpayer. I don't care who Jim is. I don't care if he's a raging progressive leftist, communist, whatever. No matter who he is as an American, pending due process removal of rights, fine. He's a criminal. Okay, fine. But I'm saying any citizen of any political background, we would be better off as a country if they received the $200 billion as opposed to this foreign country. That's not where we are. Instead, New York City is giving away your portion of the fair share to non-citizens. I don't understand why Gen Z tolerates this. Maybe this is why we're seeing so many Gen Z people now say Donald Trump's the way to go. Because you can only argue fair share for so long. You say the wealthy 1% got to pay their fair share. Fine. But why is it going to Ukraine, Israel, and non-citizens? And other places too. I get it. Sudan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iraq and Afghanistan less so, especially these days. But it's still going out to many different countries. How is that us paying our fair share? How is it that I pay taxes and I'm giving my fair share, but it's going to Pakistan? So let's say this. You want to tax me? How about before we argue taxing the wealthy and paying fair share, we argue where it's allocated? Let's do that. How about this? You want universal health care. Okay. Let's stop funding Ukraine and Sudan and Israel and all these other foreign countries. And let's, fix some pipes and get the lead out of the water. Fix our roads and bridges. And allocate this towards reasonable basic health care for individuals. See, I'm a fan of the idea of universal basic health care. And what I say is some things you can't just give. Like there might be a limited number of treatments for a specific disease. And I wish we could give it to everybody, but it doesn't exist. We can't do it. Now, for like setting a broken bone, however, that I think we can do. I mean, it might suck. We already have long enough wait times at many hotels, so we have to expand a bit more. And maybe that's the real challenge. But I'm not a big fan of the it would be uncomfortable for too many people, so let's deny it to other people. I'm actually a fan of saying let's have a basic level of healthcare. Like you have the flu, you need insulin, you broke a bone. These are simple things that with expertise we can help take care of. Insulin's a little bit more difficult that I get. But if you have like advanced cancer, like we can't fund that publicly. It's going to have to be a split thing. But before we can get anywhere near that, we have to contend with the fact that non-citizens are receiving our tax dollars and we are funding war at the same time. You cannot do both. You cannot be at war and have an open border, or let's call it find a porous border. The question for this segment is, will Gen Z tolerate this come November, or they tolerate it now? Maybe you're saying, Tim, we don't tolerate it. It's wrong. Okay. All right. Maybe that's why we're seeing so many young people say Trump 2024. When it comes time in November, the question is, will we see young people vote for Donald Trump, or will they vote to give up everything that they believed that they were entitled to and their fair share? Will they give it up to foreign countries? There's no guarantee that Donald Trump does anything different as it pertains to Israel. Although Trump did come out recently and say Israel's got to stop this war because they're losing support. It doesn't matter who you elect. They will support Israel. So I'll say that. Fair point. But how about we take back that money from Sudan and Ukraine and all these other countries? How about we stop giving this money to non-citizens and we allocate it towards helping Gen Z become successful adults who can have families, who can take vacation, and who can have the American dream that they were promised? Unfortunately, I got to say, for all the people who are voting Democrat, not that Trump is perfect, but you perpetuate this stuff by voting Democrat. Sorry, man, I can't help you. Welcome to New York's new program. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. The debate rages on. Who is in the right? Who is in the wrong? Steven Crowder versus Jared Monroe versus his wife. It is a nasty legal proceeding. And there's a lot of interesting information that's coming out, a lot of arguments being made. So while I covered this story earlier today, now that many people have chimed in and given their opinions, I think it's worth addressing the opinions of many of these individuals and giving them their time, because it's interesting. There is certainly a pro Hillary Crowder side, and even among conservatives and people who I would consider friends. We are arguing, and I think it's worth having this debate. In divorce court, one big question is, as Lauren Southern responded to me, should a man have to pay the legal fees of his wife who is suing him? It's an interesting question. We'll take a look at the opinions of some individuals who are putting out their thoughts, and we'll take a look at the evidence, but we'll break down a little bit of where we've gotten so far. After publishing this story about the lawsuit between Lauterith Crowder and former employee Jared Monroe, many people have chimed in. And Gerald Morgan of Lauterith Crowder has published an article, gone on Lauterith Crowder and said, here's what you don't know, running this source. I'll go through a bit of what he posted, and I believe I have it here. And he does have this video. It's 32 minutes long, and we'll show you the argument made from Crowder. I'll then respond to some of these posts. And this is the argument here is about father's rights, child support, the current legal system, and who's at fault. We have many people who are defending Hillary Crowder who are saying that Steven Crowder is abusive. He has a rage problem, and he has a very heavy-handed business practice of trying to restrict and go after other people. Jared Monroe clearly has motive to try and cause harm to Steven Crowder, as it appears, according to Jared's own statements, they are in a legal dispute for business reasons. I think that alone makes it inappropriate for Jared to contact Steven Crowder's ex-wife and work with her in any capacity in a divorce. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it outright. Disagree with me if you'd like. Comment below. But if Steven Crowder's in a legal dispute with Jared over business issues with Jared, Jared says that's his video. He had issues pertaining to ownership of equipment that was his and Crowder's trying to take. That's his view. I don't have the receipts. I don't know who's doing what, but this is the argument. He's in a legal dispute with Crowder and then makes contact with Crowder's ex-wife. That is teaming up in two separate legal situations. And then you have the statement from Jared saying he doesn't want Crowder to see his kids. Now it looks like a personal vendetta for business reasons, and he is using a divorce proceeding to take it out on Crowder. That's just how it appears. Tell me I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I'm just saying. Why would he get involved in this? So, of course, Gerald mentions that Hillary's father says he's trying to destabilize Steven Crowder. Hillary and Jared met in Atlanta to discuss their strategy and took this picture. You can see a text message saying, I have tickets to the aquarium. We'll pick you up. Sweet. It's thanks. There's I don't know what that is. Is that a cake or something? Something that says how he changed my mind. And they have this photo together. Jared's text, any scenario where Hillary and I team up is the end of him, Steven. And it's his worst nightmare. Watch the real fear enter his eye when Tim asks the question. I don't know who Tim is. I don't know what it's referring to. Jared, I don't know. Jared to Hillary, I think there's a scenario where several of us would be willing to attest to all of that. I just don't want him anywhere near those kids. That really, really disturbs me. Why is Jared getting involved in the divorce proceedings? I don't understand. Gerald says the whole scheme was to maximize profits that she couldn't get through the courts. Here's some statements from Hillary Crowder. The financial offer was serious, and the business valuator, and both of my attorneys agreed that the financial offer was good. $5 million. But when it came to the children, his offer was I get all of June, some of July, 2 weeks in August, and a week in the fall up north. And while that's better than what I would get in court, I want more freedom than that. Wow. That's more than I would get in court. Crowder, this is crazy that people are like, if you look at these texts, I get it. This is Crowder's side. It certainly does look based on this that Crowder has been reasonable, giving her more than she would get in court, but she wants more. So there's an email saying, let's destabilize him. Gerald says, per Hillary's father, the longer the divorce proceedings go on, the worse it is for Steven Crowder. Remember the ring footage? Hillary deleted all other footage from that house and the Lake residence, which was expressly barred by the court, with a quote saying, Mrs. Crowder then intentionally deleted all the other footage that depicted the marital home, as well as all footage from their vacation Lake residence, while under express orders from the court barring such actions. Again, in certain context, legally, you can say things that aren't true. And just because it's in a court document doesn't mean it's true. But there are certainly certain limits. You can't lie and say she deleted footage if she did not delete footage. Granted, that would just mean you are lying to the court. You can physically do it. So I don't know. I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying the likelihood is low that this is a falsehood. I got to tell you, man, I've been in legal proceedings and it is surprising. There's no legal system in this country. I got to be honest. I've been in so many legal situations. I am just surprised where the judges are basically, their whole thing is stop fighting and shut up and go home. We don't care who's right. We don't care about justice. We care about you both shutting up. If one side is screaming like a baby and the other side is trying to be reasonable, the judge sides with the baby. I've been in way too many legal cases my whole life to have seen anything otherwise. This one's where it gets interesting. He says, you may have seen these public claims about hardships. Fact, Hillary is paid $25,000 a month by Stephen. Now, this is interesting because in this photo, the judge of the divorce proceedings ordered that LWC has to pay me $25,000 per month pursuant to a temporary order during the duration of the divorce. Stephen tried to reduce that amount, but was unsuccessful. I can barely pay my divorce attorneys, let alone the attorneys in this litigation with that amount. To which I responded. I said, Crowder has to pay $25,000 in child support that his ex-wife uses to pay lawyers to go after him. He has to fund his own destruction. How effed is divorce court? Right. So Crowder is ordered by the court to give $25,000 a month to his estranged wife as they go for these through these proceedings. And she's spending that money going to court against him. That money is supposed to be for the kids. Lauren Southern chimes in. And Lauren, of course, is a friend. She says, yes, he's launched extraordinary litigious lawsuits against her and family that she cannot afford because she quit her job to be a stay-at-home mom. He also then went for full custody of the kids. I got to pause right there, Lauren. It looks like, according to the documents they posted, he was going for, he was actually giving up more than she would have gotten in court otherwise. So perhaps it would have been full custody, but I don't know what her response to that was. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying highlighting that. Thankfully, she was awarded some funds to prevent herself from becoming homeless and having her children taken. If you understood how much she's spending on lawyers, you'd know she's spending every cent of that defending herself. Should stay-at-home wives be able to have their children taken from them and left homeless if their husband is extremely wealthy? Well, the answer, that's a loaded question. I'll finish. Or should they be given a sliver of the money their husband is spending on lawyers to defend themselves? The answer to that question is no. I would say the first question is framed, I would argue, outside of the merits of logic and morality as it pertains to market law, or to the market and law. Sorry. Should stay-at-home wives be able to have their children taken from them and left homeless if their husband is wealthy? Okay, well, that's a very, very broad question. The answer is wives should not have their children taken away from them and be left homeless just because their husband is wealthy. That is to say, if a wealthy man has millions of dollars and divorces his wife, and then all of a sudden they go, well, your husband's wealthy, you no longer have a home. Well, no, obviously that shouldn't happen, but that's not what is happening, right? What's happening is that Steven Crowder has money and she doesn't have money. There is no argument, period, where someone with no money should get free money from the person suing them to use to sue them back in any circumstances. Let's try this. You work for a company and the company fires you. You say, I accuse company of wrongdoing. And the court goes, okay, company, you now have to pay him the money he needs to sue you. What? That's insane. What if Crowder was poor? It's a ridiculous argument that because Crowder has money, he is subject to having that money taken away from him. Well, if he was poor, he would just lose his kids. So that argument doesn't make sense. Let's invert it. Should a man lose his children because the wife found a new husband who can afford to sue him into oblivion and he can't fight back? Well, this is reality. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, a stay-at-home wife or otherwise. Circumstances in law, if you have cash and you can afford the battle, you are more likely to win. The idea that because Crowder has money, he should have to pay for her legal defense is too communist. That was my response. It's too communist. I don't know if I have my response pulled up for me to accept. Now, you can certainly say, but it's not fair to the moms. Then don't get divorced. Get rid of no-fault divorce. Divorce should only be in the most serious of circumstances, criminal actions. And then when it came for Crowder and Hillary with these problems, the judge should have said, you will go to counseling and therapy. You will not fight in front of your children. You are married. And this is a choice you made. And neither of you will be allowed to break that. Now, should there be evidence that Crowder's physically abusing or Hillary's physically abusing anybody or whatever? Now you're talking about criminal actions, threats and abuse. I don't know the circumstances of Crowder and his wife, but it does not fly, in my opinion, that Steven Crowder's wife can say, it's not working, I want a divorce. Crowder says, okay, fine, we're getting a divorce. And then she goes, and you have to pay for it. Well, you're separating from him. But she chose to be a stay-at-home mom. She gave up her career for Steven Crowder. Welcome to the real world. That's it. I'm not playing this because she wanted to be a mom and wanted to get a divorce. Crowder has to fund litigation against him. I don't agree with it. Sorry. Get your ducks in a row before it happens. That's just the reality. The very rare circumstances where the husband is wealthy and like Crowder, it does not fly that this precedent should stand. There are numerous stories I've seen people post where it's like, I got a divorce and my husband, or someone's like, my husband's family paid for it and I didn't have that resource, so I ended up losing. Yeah, welcome to the real world. I am no fan of divorce. Marriage, till death do us part. But it's become dating. So let's play this. If you choose to enter into a divorce, into a marriage structure with no legal protections, you do not get to make someone pay for your legal actions against them. That makes no sense. I certainly think we have a problem here. Problem being, of course, if a woman wants to be a stay-at-home mom and then she has no money to her name because of it, that creates problems where if the marriage does go bad, she is of limited resources. That is a problem. The answer is not forcing someone to pay their opponent to sue them. It doesn't work. I don't know this. What suite is this? Adriana Jacob says, in response to Jared Monroe with the new information coming out, watched again carefully. I have a new point of view. As a former talent agent who was maligned by the New York Times, a behemoth Hollywood agency and a hack journo who talked my clients into breaching their NDAs and lying about me, my opinion is that this is a strategic attack on Crowder's business. Suing for tortious interference is the right move. Jared is a pawn in a larger effed up game. I don't see how. Which tweet do I have? A tweet from Pearl somewhere. Crowder case updates. Hillary Crowder is receiving $25,000 a month in child support. Crowder has been covering her legal fees. Some people have pointed this out too. I don't know if this was in the video, that Crowder's estate is paying her legal bills. Hillary reached out to Steven's friend and coworkers in an attempt to extort him. Jared is being sued because he was involving himself in a private divorce in which he was recruited by Hillary Crowder to assimilate negative PR assets and put pressure on Stephen in the divorce. It really does look that way. It does. You want to make an argument about if someone is wealthy, they should have to pay the bills of the person suing them. I don't care. The issue here is get rid of no-fault divorce. And the issue here is then only in extreme circumstances. If a judge says, Crowder, you can't yell in front of your kids. Hillary, you can't yell in front of your kids. If he does, file a petition with the court and we will take punitive action. Other than that, you want to get a divorce? Congratulations. These are the circumstances you entered into. Hillary is not wealthy. Was Hillary wealthy before Crowder? Let's try this for Lauren. How much money was Hillary making at her career? Would she have made anything close to what Stephen Crowder makes? I think the answer is no. Stephen Crowder is the 1%. So even if she had her career, she certainly would not have enough money right now to be going up against Crowder. And she would have to use child support to pay for a babysitter or a caretaker to watch the kids while she worked, right? And then what? She would have some money left over, but she wouldn't be a stay-at-home mom. Simply because she's choosing to be a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean Crowder should have to pay the bills for someone suing him. I don't accept that. And then we have this from Alex Jones, highlighting the SCNR coverage. Jones says, Stephen has the documents and they are damning. I had similar things done to me. And in the end, it only backfired on the perps. I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but I can tell you, Jared's doing himself no favors by announcing he has a private business dispute with Crowder and trying to raise $100,000 and raising nearly all of it in a day. And then it comes out that he's been in contact with Crowder's ex-wife and he says he doesn't want Crowder to see his kids anymore. We're not talking about poor Hillary who can't afford to sue Stephen Crowder. We're talking about a third party, Jared Monroe, who for some reason is involved in a private marital dispute and explicitly stating that he wants Crowder not to be near his kids. I'm sorry. None of this is okay. Now, by all means, say Crowder's got emotional problems. He's got rage. He screwed over David Landau and Jared Monroe and all these people in business. I don't care. That has nothing to do with why Stephen Crowder has to pay the legal defense of his ex-wife or soon to be or whatever it may be, or why Jared Monroe is getting involved in a marital dispute, unless Crowder's correct. According to that text message or email, whatever it was, Hillary's father said recruit people who can damage Stephen Crowder's business because it'll force him to back down and give her everything she wants, even though the courts would give her less. She said, Crowder's offering more than the courts would offer, but I want more. And so here's the game they're playing. I don't see how you see it otherwise. But you know what? I wonder. I'm not friends with Stephen Crowder. I mean, I guess technically we're friends. I don't talk to the guy. Talked to them maybe a dozen times in my life. We've talked about business things. He's been on the show. And there are people being like, Crowder went on Tim's show, so Tim's loyal to Crowder. I never talked to the guy. We mind our own business. I've been on a show a handful of times. I know the guys at the Daily Wire more than I know Stephen Crowder. And we had him on the show. I had every reason to defend Jeremy Boring. We've actually collaborated on projects with the Daily Wire. But my loyalty is to what seems to be true to the best of my abilities and what seems to be moral. And if someone like Stephen does something bad, I'll say he's doing something bad. But right now, I'm on the outside of this. I don't know what Crowder did. I don't know what he didn't do. But there are people who hate him. And there are people who are friends with his ex-wife. And there are people who, I assume Lauren's perspective on this is being a mom. And my perspective is on being a guy and not a dad and not dealing with divorces. But that bias certainly splits our view. But I'll approach that comment from Lauren just from a principle standpoint. I don't care what your opinions are on divorce or anything like that. The idea that because someone is wealthy and can afford lawyers, they should have to pay the legal defense of their opponent is too communist for me. The state being, it's unfair that this person has more money. Therefore, he has to pay the other person's legal fees, too, for the lawsuit against him. No way. In market capitalism, if you have the money, you have the ability. And if you don't have the money, you don't. If the issue is we need to solve for how we deal with mothers when it comes to this and they need some advantage, they need some leveled playing field. Well, I would certainly agree. It is a problem that wealthy men will win against their wives because being a stay-at-home mom restricts their ability to generate value and wealth. That being said, the inverse is also true. Women could have money from family or from anyone else. Should they have to pay the legal defense of the husbands they divorce? It's a ridiculous notion. I'm going to wrap it up there. I mean, I guess it's a little short to wrap up. We should normally go 21 minutes, but I don't know. I guess rant over. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's right or who's wrong. I'm telling you how I see things from the outside based on the news we got. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then.